Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Partly cloudy and a very comfortable 57 degrees right now, going up to 77, 79 tomorrow with a chance for showers, 80 on Saturday. But wait, Sunday we start at 70, temperature drops throughout the day. Monday, you're talking about a high temperature in the lower 50s. That's the high. Lows around 37 on Monday night, Tuesday evening, then highs of 59 on Tuesday. So it's going to be chilly for a couple of days. You better remember where you put those jackets and the kids and so forth. Then it goes up to 72 for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And with the weather here, enjoy Monday and Tuesday, because seriously, it's liable to not be that cold on Christmas Day. You're talking about highs of 54 on Monday. It could be 70 degrees on Christmas. You never know. Of course, it could be a blizzard, too. You never know. Ryan Griffin joins us now. Rick Griffiths, professor of political science at Syracuse University, recent author of The Disunited States, Threats of Secession in Red and Blue America and Why They Won't Work. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Thanks for taking the time with us. I got to tell you, I was saying this before you came on the air. Anybody that is calling for a national divorce apparently has never been through a contentious divorce, because if they had, they would realize the fallacy and the folly of all of this. But let me open the text lines here at 504-260-1870. If anybody thinks there should be a divorce between the United States red and blue states, let me know how you feel about that, yes or no, 504-260-1870. How divided are we when it comes to historical context, Ryan?
Well, we're quite divided. So, I mean, as we know, polarization is quite high right now, and it seems to be increasing. People who study this think that we have not seen this level of polarization since the Civil War era. And one of the concerns is that it seems to be increasing. And so what this article about is just walking through, you know, the potential end game of where that could go. If it just gets worse and worse, what could happen? And that's why some people are calling for a national divorce.
My age is a closely kept secret. I don't even know if the CIA knows how old I am, Ryan. Okay, so we keep that under lock and key. But if I were old enough, I would have remembered the late 60s, which was, you know, when I hear about the most divisive time since the Civil War, I think back to the assassinations, I think back to the racial upheaval, I think back to the Vietnam War, I think, you know, those could have been some pretty divisive times in and of themselves. What's the difference?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I won't disclose my age either, but I wasn't around during the late 60s. I imagine that was...
For the record, I didn't say I was. For the record, I didn't say I was. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, the people who look at this, and it's hard to measure because we don't have the same polls now that we would have in the 60s, if we didn't have anything like that in the 1860s. All right. But one of the, you know, just one simple difference is they look at Congress and they look at voting records, and they can put them on a left-right scale. Mm. And they can show that the distance between the left and the right is greater today than it was even in the 60s. So that's one way that you could get at that.
And you know what else they didn't have, Ryan, in my opinion? They didn't have 24 hour news cycles. I don't care if it's CNN, Fox, MSNBC, pick one. I don't care. Newsmax, pick whatever one they have out there. where they have to fill with content, because somebody breathlessly yesterday was talking to me about the New York election and this and that and the other thing. And it's like, well, okay, for the people in New York, I'm sure that's a big deal. And it can be a bellwether for what happens in the future. Personally, I mentioned it. We talked about it a little bit in the news, but I didn't dwell on it because I think sometimes in and of itself, it becomes something to talk about only because you need to fill 24 hours. Neither was there social media in the 60s where people could just jump on and rant and rave and put their opinions on there and sometimes pass them along as facts when in fact they aren't, which means that people believe a whole set of stuff that's not true, which could lead them to think, ah, the United States is so divided, we need a red and a blue.
That's right. That's right. I mean, as a sort of thought experiment, imagine if we could time warp back to the 1960s with the same social media, the same media sphere we have now. That probably would have been an even more turbulent period.
You had a president assassinated. You had a civil rights leader assassinated. I don't know if I'm going in a proper chronological order here. You had a presidential candidate assassinated who was the brother of the assassinated president. You had the civil rights issues that were going on. You had the federal government getting involved in integrating schools. So I don't know, man. I think if you look at it, people don't realize just exactly how divided we were. When it comes to divorce, I said this earlier, anybody that's actually been through a divorce would not want this because there are no winners when it comes to a divorce. For one thing, you got to divide the property up, right? So there's one consideration. You got to divide the kids up, or you got to decide who gets custody of the kids. And I'll make the army, the kids here, who gets custody of that. Do you think people have actually thought through what a divided United States would look like? Because it wouldn't be geographically contiguous, would it?
No. So one of the things I do in the book,
tell me about your book. I want to talk about your book as well. Tell me about your book.
Yeah, one of the things I do in there is I did a lot of interviews with, the folks from Red State America, the Yes California, the Texas Nationalists, different secessionist groups. And, the analogy with marital divorce is regularly brought out. And I accept your point. I've had other people say, hey, look, I've been through a divorce. And let me tell you, that was not pleasant. But the argument that, these folks will use and they're always, they're very sincere in their arguments. Is that, look, sometimes you do get a divorce because the two sides just can't get along. And they would have happier lives if they separated and then, built the lives that they wanted. One of the things I do in the book, or really the main thing, is to try to say that the analogy between marital divorce and national divorce only goes so far. Right? In a marital divorce, there's two people. In a national divorce, that's 340 million people. Right. And as you pointed out, trying to sort all those Americans into some sort of red land and blue land, that's folly, right? Because
it is.
I'm looking out in my neighborhood right now out the window. There are Republicans and Democrats and moderates. How do you sort that into two viable countries? I don't know how you do that without tremendous conflict.
I just think talk like that is crazy and dangerous. Am I maybe being overdramatic there or not?
Well, I mean, I'm cautious here. I've done a lot of, I'm a scholar of.
No, I'm not saying your talk is dangerous
understand.
You understand what I'm saying. I mean, people even thinking that would be a possible, even a possibility, I think, is just crazy that people would allow their thinking to go there.
I understand what you're saying. I'm somewhat, not sympathetic, but I try to listen to what the folks are saying, partly because they usually get to that place out of a tremendous amount of despair and frustration. Mm-hmm. And having studied movements around the world, different secessionist movements, when sometimes people get into a movement and then it becomes their thing, it's kind of like they drink a Kool-Aid and there's a lot of wishful thinking and they really believe in the cause, and it's very difficult to change somebody's mind once they're fully committed to that kind of cause.
Let me take a break here. We'll pick it up when we come back. I will say this, if anyone out there, man or woman, is contemplating divorce, if the first thing the lawyer doesn't say to you is, just so you understand what you're getting into, this is going to be horrible. It's going to be awful for everybody. Get up and walk out because you got the wrong man or woman. That's the wrong attorney. And the other thing I think that has to go with this analogy is that You're not talking about a couple that's been married for a year, right? Or a couple of days where they say, well, this is not going to work out. We've been together a year, no kids, this is not going to work out. You're talking about a couple that's been together for a long, long time and has a lot of assets, and they're dividing this thing up. And it's just to me, having been through a contentious divorce after a long marriage, I can tell you, Professor, is crazy. 622 Traffic Now, WWL. 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Professor Ryan Griffiths, a professor of political science at Syracuse University, recent author of The Disunited States, Threats of Secession in Red and Blue America and Why They Won't Work. That book is available, Professor, at Amazon, all the usual outlets?
That's right.
I'm looking forward to reading it. I really am. Let's talk about, somebody texted in and said, I know what it's like to be the product of a divorce and have your parents compete for your attention, and I feel as though that's what's happening right now. Are we kind of on that road now, in a way?
Well, I mean, if things continue, one of the points of the article is that if you continue to ratchet up polarization, right, gerrymandering, government shutdown, you know, there must be limits at which enough people begin to take seriously the idea of a national divorce. Now, you and I may not like that idea at all, but if you push this far enough, it can happen. And there are triggers. You know, a failed election, a political assassination, something like that can tip those sorts of forces over. And if you look at secessionism in other places around the world, sometimes this stuff can move very fast. It can metastasize in just a matter of years. So there are real things to take to be concerned about.
Sometimes I wonder if the political leaders would want this at all, because you got to watch what you ask for. You may just get it, right? And I think sometimes, and I have a very jaded opinion after doing this for a long time, Professor, that, you know, it's almost like wrestling where they know the outcome before it starts, and you be the bad guy this time, I'll be the bad guy that time. Meanwhile, they have it pretty good, and they want to keep us fighting against each other and it's a very generalized statement, obviously, to avoid us paying attention to what's actually going on. As part of your book, did you talk to any political leaders about this? I know Marjorie Taylor Greene has made some comments.
Now, besides Marjorie Taylor Greene, there is no prominent political leader who's behind this. All right. So Marjorie Taylor Greene periodically will tweet something about, we need a national divorce. She did that in the wake of the Charlie Kirk murder. But there is no prominent, there's no Gavin Newsom or J.D. Vance behind it. And if that ever happened, that would be a tremendous tipping point. Mm-hmm. All right. Who I did talk to were just the different leaders of the Texas Nationalists or secessionists in New Hampshire, that kind of thing. But one thing I can say is I've been tracking these groups for over 10 years, and they are gathering, they're gaining momentum. Just a few years back, it was, you know, small potatoes. Now, they're still not like the Scottish Nationalists, where they have nearly 50% of the population on board, anything like that, but they're gaining momentum.
And at any point, Professor, I hate to interrupt you, but we're running out of time. At any point, did the Russians or the Chinese come up in this discussion and what their response would be? House divided
well,
and so
in the
forth?
Book, in the book, I write, I open with a very disturbing vignette that walks through a failed election and a disintegration of America. And it ends with the recognition of all these different states in America by China and Russia, who would clearly stand to benefit from that kind of American fragmentation.
Can't wait to read it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. The name of the book is The Disunited States, Threats of Secession in Red and Blue America and Why They Won't Work by Ryan Griffiths, professor of political science at Syracuse University. We'll talk to Mike Strain when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozin. All right, 6:46, 14 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Dr. Mike Strain, a respected veterinarian, and he also happens to be the beloved Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, and one nice man. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I am doing great. I've been traveling the state. I'm headed to Nicholls State University to give a lecture on seafood to the Environment and Health Council today. And yesterday, I was in Shreveport at the annual Junior Livestock Sale, the 89th, the State Fair, Louisiana, with our young people, where they're selling their champion livestock. So it's just, we've been having a number of really, really good days. We've been traveling a lot, but getting a lot of things are going on, Tommy. There's a whole lot going on in the world of ag.
Let's talk about the government shutdown, farmers, tariffs, any of that affecting them?
Yes. With the government shutdown, and I've met with Secretary Rollins and with the governor and others for a number of things. One, that we are reopening all of our Farm Services Agency offices, can have at least two people in there to get that moving. Secondly, on the SNAP front, earlier this week on Monday, the Department of Health and Hospitals and LSU asked if we could help facilitate to move more money into the food banks. So dollars for food banks come through the legislature, they come federally, they come through our office into the food banks, and we're able to move.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
$1 million in one day, an additional $1 million into the food banks to help them because they're under pressure. Also, as you know, the Louisiana legislature and the governor put a significant amount of money from the budget stabilization fund, which is called the old rainy day trust fund, in order to provide SNAP benefits for children, for the disabled, and a small group or so, and the elderly. And so, of course, that still left 55,000 people that would not have that. But then we do see now that we hope that those SNAP benefits will be restored, at least partially restored. The amount of money that is being made available through the federal government, that is only enough to last about 2 weeks. So if we can get that 2 weeks worth of money and get those cards reloaded, yesterday, you know, I saw where they were going to provide enough money to the states so that, because it's the states that reload those SNAP benefits. They send the money to the state puts it onto the card, and so we can get that in people's hands, you know, hopefully fairly soon. But many different things in the government shutdown have had an effect, but we are working through them. And again, getting those farm services agencies open is important. But the other thing, many meetings that I need to attend to, our federal counterparts have been canceling them, everything from, you know, dealing with, you know, whistling ducks or whatever the issue is of the day, that those meetings are postponed. So, but time doesn't stand still when you're dealing with whatever issues you are dealing with. And so hopefully that, you know, I was hoping that after the elections on Tuesday that there would be another vote and then everyone would come together. But, I think everyone's got their heels pretty well dug in, but I do understand there's some negotiations going on. And at some point we're going to reopen the government, but the sooner the better, and let's get back to work.
Saw Paul Murphy's story, my friend, at Channel 4 yesterday about the sugarcane harvest. Man, it's going well, isn't it?
It is rolling. I tell you, when you look at that cane, I can tell you 99% of it looks incredible. And with this beautiful weather, this is almost perfect weather. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting just enough rain to keep the dust settled and keep the cane growing. And they're rolling through there really, really, really well. And price is holding at about 34 cents right now, so that is good. We're expecting a very good cane harvest. Hopefully, we'll have it done before the mid of January. And we used to get it done. They tried to always have it done by Christmas Eve. But now, with the amount of cane and that we have, it's taken to the first week of January. But you don't want to go much beyond that first and second week, because a freeze is very detrimental to any standing cane that is left. But it's going well. Our cane farmers are pleased. We're very pleased. And I tell you, that sugar program is a very good program. It keeps a stable price. And again, 19 out of 20 years, there's no cost to the taxpayers at all for that sugar program, the way that it's done. So sugar is very well. And again, it's probably going to be about $1.4 billion. That's $1.4 billion at the farm. mm-hmm. one of our largest crops, dollar-wise. And the largest crop, of course, is timber. And I will be headed back to London with Drax and meeting with the Brits and also with people from the EU on the discussion on the deforestation issue, because they are trying not to buy lumber and timber from the United States because, of, you know, when I try to explain to them, we are not cutting down the rainforest. Mm-hmm. We have pine plantations.
They can't get that, think, Mike, that these are managed forests. Well, that's why you grow them and then you replant them and then you harvest them every couple of years.
Never confuse issues with motivation, right? What's really going on. Don't let the facts get in the way of what they're trying to do, you know, what they are doing. And so there's protectionism going there.
The only reason these trees, correct me if I'm wrong, are planted is so that they can be harvested for lumber.
Absolutely.
And then after they're harvested for lumber, more trees are planted to take their place, and then the cycle continues. Am I accurate in that?
That's correct. And, you know, they have a short lifespan. These particular pine trees, they are hybrid pine trees, and they grow very rapidly. And we harvest the first time at 12, and we finish cutting them at 18 years. We replant immediately. And so it's very, very carbon friendly. You think the sugar cane is a 5-year crop? Well, trees are a 12-year crop.
And Mike, if you don't harvest, then the trees die, and then you got a big forest fire risk, don't you?
Yes. And what happens? They get sick. They get beetles. They die. Forest fires. So again, you have to cut them on schedule. You have to cut them on time. And we're trying to impress upon our European counterparts and our British counterparts. With Drax, I'll be traveling with Drax so that they fully understand and we move forward. So it's not only about utilization of our wood for energy, but it's also precursor chemicals and other things. So that's our next international trip that we'll be doing, and I'll have some legislators with me and Drax officials with me. That's the company here that is, and they're actually British, but they're here in Louisiana, and they're a major player in our wood basket.
We got some time till Thanksgiving, November 27th, a little bit later this year. But what can you tell us about Thanksgiving prices, turkey prices, all the other good stuff that we eat at Thanksgiving?
Well, turkey prices have went up significantly. They're up almost 40% due to high-path avian influenza, which has affected a number of turkey farms, even as recently within the month. The overall supply of turkeys is down 5 to 10%. Which has resulted in up to 40% increase in the cost of turkey. So we should have enough turkey for everyone, but don't wait until, Wednesday, the day before, to go get your turkey. Mm-hmm. If you're going to buy a frozen turkey, get it now. Pick out, if you like butterball, get that nice butterball, whatever you want right now. And then again, but pay attention. If you got that frozen turkey, it takes about 5 days to thaw it out. You can't take it out of the freezer put it in the oven.
You got to start thawing it in July, I think, right, Mike?
Yeah. You need about 5 days in a refrigerator unless you're going to do it in a sink.
No, you put in your trunk.
In a refrigerator.
Put in your trunk in July. That's what you do. You put
Lord.
Yeah. And then
there's already people sick from bad pasta, right? We've already got listeria.
Yes, we don't need that. I'm just kidding.
Need salmonella and E. coli.
It's a joke. I'm just kidding. Put a turkey. No, I'm telling the audience that. You would never put a turkey in your trunk in July. I'm just kidding. Hey, Mike, thank you. Have a safe week wherever you travel, whatever you're doing, all right?
Take care.
Appreciate it as always. All right, Mike Strang, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 655. Traffic now, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.